So, what a fun subject. Let's talk about baseball, will ya? Yeah, let's lighten it up. Oh, yeah, it's baseball season. You know, the All-Star break is coming up soon. And, boy, won't that be good. L.A. Dodgers backtrack, apologize to Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Let's see. L.A. Dodgers backtrack and apologize to this group. Okay, listen, a week after baseball's Los Angeles Dodgers disinvited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence from participating in their LGBTQ MICKEY MOUSE plus Pride Night at its stadium, the team, an arch rival of the Giants, has reversed course and apologized to the San Francisco-based charitable organization. After much thoughtful feedback from our diverse communities, honest conversations with the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, and generous discussions with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Los Angeles Dodgers would like to offer our sincerest apologies to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence members of the LGBTQMICKEYMOUSE community and their friends and families, the team said in a statement posted on social media on Monday, May 22nd. The Dodgers added it would now welcome the Sisters, a nonprofit group of drag performers dressed as nuns, back to its 10th annual event on June 16th. The organization, which was founded in 1979 to combat AIDS, HIV/AIDS epidemic, said on Monday that it accepted the offer. They expressed their willingness to take place on the field, according to Facebook post, and receive the Community Hero Award, which recognizes the life-saving work that they have done tirelessly for decades. Okay, so, how is it that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and what they do is they dress up as nuns and priests and Jesus Christ and Mary, and they go and they do drag shows in those guises. They do lewd acts to Jesus, to Mary, very perverted, very sick, just evil stuff. It reminds me of when I was 13 years old. I saw a copy of National Lampoon, and it was making fun of Jesus. He comes down off the cross, and Joan of Arc is there. And it turns out that Jesus is into bondage and, dominatrix stuff. And being 13 years old, it was weird. I knew it was taboo, and I knew I shouldn't look at it, but I had to look at it, and I thought it was funny at the time because it was touching on things that it shouldn't, it just caused me to laugh. Or an even better thing is The Life of Brian. You have that scene when there's like 100 guys that get crucified at one time. And in Roman times, that might happen. Because there were so many being crucified at the time Jesus Christ was being crucified, he was able to sneak out and not be crucified. On one level, it's like, ha ha, funny, yeah, okay, it didn't happen that way, but ha ha, yeah, okay. It's perverted. It's a lie. It's sick. It shouldn't be indulged. But we have a very indulgent society that allows anything to take place now. So they spit in the face of Catholicism especially, but Christianity as a whole. And, oh, by the way, they wouldn't dare do this to the Muslims because then their abbey, or whatever they call their meeting place, would get blown up. But we Christians are too nice. We don't go and blow them up. They'll get theirs on the day of judgment. Let's see, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, also called the Order of Perpetual Indulgence, is a charity, protest, and street performance organization that uses drag and religious imagery to call attention to sexual intolerance and satirizes the issue of gender and morality. Upon their move to San Francisco from Iowa City, gee, I wonder why they needed to leave Iowa. In 1979, a small group. So they put on performances, they have people donate money to them, and then they take part of the proceeds and they give it to HIV clinics or whatever. So, let's see. Here we go. Between 1979 and 2007, the Sisters are credited with raising over $1 million for various causes, or almost $40,000 on average per year. Whoop-dee-doo! This organization, I don't know how many people are in it, generates $40,000 a year in charitable giving. Here it is, 2017. This is the numbers for them. Their revenue was $141,162. Let's see, the expenses were $194,000. Get that. Their revenue was $141,000. Their expenses was $194,000. They have four employees. I won't bother to read the names of the employees. I mean, they're not real names. But, one of them, the vice president, is Sister Belladonna. Yeah. So, anyhow, the Los Angeles Dodgers had invited them to come because they've got a pride night. Got to have a pride night now. All corporations need pride nights. And they were invited to the pride night because they're a homosexual group. And then the Dodgers found out how bad they were and that there's a bunch of Catholic groups that said, no way, don't you dare bring these people in here. Because they're a hate group. They are. They hate Catholics. They hate Christians. They hate morality. They hate everything that's good. Oh, by the way, a group called Catholic Vote launches a $1 million campaign calling for the Los Angeles Dodgers to be boycotted over the anti-Catholic drag queens. Well, finally, the Catholics and the Christians are growing a pair and standing up to this stuff. The LA Dodgers should be boycotted. Target should be boycotted. Bud Light is being boycotted. Anything that touches this transgenderism should be boycotted. But these corporations, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it's Target, or Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, they have owners. They don't own themselves. They're owned and controlled by BlackRock, which is run by Harry Fink. What's that guy's? Larry Fink, I think is his name. Or by State Street out of Boston. And these are the money interests behind the companies, and they're telling them to do this crap. It's a whole anti-human thing. It's all about killing people off. It's about getting rid of the human population. And one way you do that is you sterilize people. You get them to cut off their reproductive organs so that they can't have babies. It's really sick. Let's see. The Dodgers pick activists over apostles. Let's see. The Los Angeles Dodgers' decision to invite, disinvite, then re-invite the LGBT group M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E, that they chose advocacy over the altar. One of the largest Catholic advocacy group organizations has issued a letter to the Los Angeles Dodgers announcing an upcoming ad campaign calling for a boycott of the baseball club. Let's see. I represent the nation's largest lay Catholic advocacy organization, Brian Burke wrote. We are supported by millions of devoted Catholics across America who believe that the time-honored values of life, family, and freedom, which the Dodgers used to celebrate, are demonstrably good for America and worthy of respect, not ridicule. And so it goes on to say, we wrote to you last week with a reasonable ask. Please do not honor this anti-Catholic hate group. And it is an anti-Catholic hate group. There is no place for anti-Catholic bigotry, mocking of religious sisters, or celebrating a perverse activist group whose identity is marked by blasphemy and mockery of Catholics. And I agree with them. Prior to the launch of this campaign, we are requesting yet another opportunity to speak by telephone or to meet in person with an appropriate representative so that you can better understand the extraordinary harm and hurt your decision has engendered. Okay, so, pushback from the Catholics. Good. Let's see. Archbishop Salvatore Cordilone of the nearby Archdiocese of San Francisco accused the Dodgers administration of worshiping alternative gods. Our Catholic sisters devote themselves to serving others selflessly. Decent people would not mock and blaspheme them. So now, we now know what gods the Dodger administration worships. Open desecration and anti-Catholicism is not disqualifying, tweeted Cordilone. Disappointing, but not surprising. Gird your loins. So, good. That bishop, girding your loins, he's getting ready for a spiritual battle. Which it definitely is. So, man, that's enough of that perversion for now. I mean, it is really... think about how stupid it is. How moronic that we're allowing perverts of this degree to rule. I mean, they should just be rotting in a jail cell someplace. But no, we have January 6th people rotting in jails, and I'll get to that after I come back. At least we'll be talking about honorable people. The United States of Empire by James Dunn shows how the U.S. became a worldwide empire. It looks at the entry of the U.S. into both world wars. George Washington had warned us about entangling ourselves in European wars. Before World War I, the United States was not concerned with foreign conflicts. In World War I, we changed the balance of power in Europe. We went in to save the world for democracy. We expelled the German Kaiser and imposed our own idea of what Germany should look like. Propaganda painted the Kaiser as the evil Hun that was destroying civilization. So when the true barbarian rose to power, Hitler, how could we avoid being drawn in again? We saved Great Britain. Britain needed us again in World War II to save their bacon. We bought the hog. Now we are the empire. The book, The United States of Empire, in paperback, is available at Amazon.com.
Here's author James Dunn to talk about his soon-to-be-printed next book.
The King Philip's War in New England in 1675 defined the relations, for good or bad, between English settlers and Native Americans for centuries to come. Many of the battles are local to the Blackstone Providence area, with long-forgotten memorials and grave sites. Smithfield was the Battle of Nipsichuck. The Battle of Sudbury in Sudbury, Mass. Was a turning point. Mount Hope in Bristol, Rhode Island was the home of King Philip and the Wampanoag tribe. The Connecticut River Valley was a scene of many bloody encounters between the English and the Nipmuc tribe. South Kingston, Rhode Island saw the Great Swamp Battle slash massacre. One Englishman stands out in this brutal conflict. He dared to learn to fight like the Indians did and won the war for the English. He was Captain Benjamin Church in the book, Captain Benjamin Church and the King Philip's War. And have a great weekend.
Listening to Dunn's Deal with author James Dunn. Join James every Friday at 6:05 for a unique perspective on today's issues. But for now, this is a Dunn Deal, only on your voice in the Blackstone Valley, WNRI, Woonsocket.